God bless you all, and thank you so much, Barney and Vicki, for giving me the opportunity to share a little bit of what's on my heart from God's Word tonight. And I'm thankful to God that He entrusted us all with His Word and that we get to have this rightly divided for us, Father. And just thank you for that. And I'll get moving on here. So tonight, I wanted to share about two words from God's Word and that don't start with but and end with God, and they're found in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. So in the morning, I'll be reading, and this verse has always just stuck out in my mind, so I decided to look into it, and let me read it here. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we all know and appreciate the two words that we've heard before, but God in Ephesians. So the two words here are preserved blameless. And my question is, why did God put those two words in this last verse of this epistle of Thessalonians? And it just kind of stuck out in my mind. So I dived a little deeper in there. What I thought I'd do is just go through some what I call technical parts or things about the verse, like figure of speech and definitions. And then I'm going to go in and kind of offer some subjective parts that just hit me about this verse. So Thessalonians was one of the earliest epistles written by Paul. It establishes the truth concerning the return of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together with him and subsequent events. And there's a lot more, but that was kind of the gist. In verse 23, you have a figure of speech. It's called benediction or benedictio, I think. Or a blessing. It's the act of blessing and the blessing itself. So that verse is a benediction, which I think is kind of interesting. Another figure of speech present are with the words holy and whole. I won't go into that figure of speech, but it is there. So kind of interesting, some flag waving there by God with the figure of speech. And so the definition here of the words, so we have preserved, blameless. So preserved, the root word is custodu, I think. So we get the word custodian from that word. And it means to keep an eye upon, guard, watch, and then keep in safety or maintain. I was one verse that I kind of looked up is John chapter 2, verse 10. You don't have to go there. And it says, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now, and that kept the good wine until now is the reserve, as an example of reserving something. And I know Mariel and I were fixing dinner last weekend, and we noticed that we didn't have any wine, so I was going to go back and pull a bottle out of the cabinet. And Marielle says, no, no, that's the special wine, that we have to keep that for a special occasion. So just a little side note about reserving something. The second word is blameless, and that means, and according to Bollinger, unblameable, so you're free from fault or defect, deserving no censure. And remembering, speaking of Ken's teaching, so remember Tuesday where he said that God moved first. When you're talking about sanctification, God moves first in our lives. He's the one that sanctified us. Well, this is the same principle that that we see here in this verse where he's saying you're preserved blameless under the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. It says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Kind of a special occasion for sure. We see it again, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And then another verse here in this technical section, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13. It says, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So kind of a little background there on the definition and some background verses. One other thing that I read about this, these two words, that what it doesn't say we're preserved faultless, or preserved sinless, or preserved flawless. It says we're preserved blameless. So that said, why did God say preserved blameless? Where and when he said it? And so I have some thoughts here that I thought I would just go through. So one, and I hear this all the time in manifestations, is that he gets us. He knows how we think, how we act, what motivates us, what discourages us. He knows we need to renew our minds. And so he's saying, you know, you're preserved blameless. Don't forget that. And like it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, you know, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So God knows, or he wouldn't say, he knows we need to renew our minds, or else he wouldn't put that in his word. So he gets us. He knows how he thinks, and we need to be reminded. So here in the last verse of 1 Thessalonians, as God is laying out the next milestone for all born-again believers, he tells us, oh, by the way, I love you just the way you are. Basically, that's one thought. Another one is he knows that we are wrestling against the God of this world who manifests power in all different ways. I'm sure we've heard a lot of teachings along those lines. And one of the ways is the adversary, or the God of this world is our adversary, attacks us is by accusing us of not being worthy or being guilty. And so God reminds us of the foundation of our righteousness. And he reminds us here in Thessalonians that we are justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Romans 4, chapter 23. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. And in chapter 5, verse 1 and 2 of Romans, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And so God, in saying that you're preserved blameless, is based on what Jesus Christ accomplished for us. He wants to remind us, and when we get accused, in fact, that's our legal foundation for our stand before God as being righteous ones. And so when we do get accused and attacked, God wants us to remember. And that's why this is a thought I had as being a benediction there in Thessalonians, that God wants us to remember Preserve blameless. Number three, he wants to help us draw a line in the sand, as Barney taught last month, I think it was, by bringing to mind that this is a race and we need to aim our thoughts and our focus on Jesus Christ and what he accomplished for us, namely the beautiful relationship we have with God and that God has with us. But you draw that line in the sand because we are preserved blameless, and you just don't let the adversary go across that line. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Look into Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And so I thought that was pretty cool too, just what God moved, and then Jesus Christ answered, and he obeyed. And now we can now run the race, if you will, with great endurance and great believing and joy, because we're preserved blameless. Number four, he wants to help keep the helmet of salvation on tight, covering our hearts and minds. The word salvation in the Aramaic, it uses redemption, helmet of redemption. And when you're redeemed from something to and brought to something. It's not enough to know that we were rescued once in the past. It's like in the Eastern way of thinking, God delivered us. God does deliver us now, and he will yet deliver us. So it's kind of a three-phased confession there about our salvation and redemption. So it's not enough to know that we were rescued once in the past. We have to keep in our minds continually. And that's why I think God put that preserve blameless in there to help keep that helmet of redemption on tight. Another thought was he wants to remind us to boldly come to the throne of grace as a way of life, not just here, there, and everywhere, just as a way of life. It's normal for us to come boldly to the throne of grace. And it's a way of life because the new nature that we have. Remember, God moved first, and he gave us this new nature, this new life. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. I'm reading from the ESV. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And that should be a way of life because of the new nature that we have and all that God has done for us. And this other verse here too, in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, talking about coming boldly to the throne of grace. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So that's the thought about being a preserved blameless that God wants to remind us of, is to come boldly to his throne of grace because of our faith in Christ. And that's what it's based on. That's the right that we have to do, to come boldly with confidence. Another thought is he wants to us to remember how vital being blameless is to our peace of mind, physical health, and healing, especially the effect on your life of being forgiven of your sins. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, which we know, I'll read it again, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And just that being forgiven of our sins, I know we say that to ourselves, but sometimes we need to hear it outside of ourselves to have the full effect. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 5, we have a record where Jesus Christ was healing the man sick of a palsy. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise and walk. You see the connection there? And I believe that God is just trying to get our attention here in that verse, the benediction, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, with that part of our life of being preserved blameless. The last thought here, he wants us to remember his perspective, and that is, we are the value that God has in the universe. And Ken just hit this on the head, this nail on the head so beautifully. And what I want to do to close is read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. And then I'm going to read the excerpt out of the seminar in Pleasant Places that Ken did on Tuesday. Just to read it again, I know it blessed me a lot to hear it, so I thought it would too for you. But Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 in the King James, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So the excerpt from the Ken has is from Kenneth Weiss' Word Studies in the Greek New Testament. The words before him are kata pneumion. The first word we break up as follows. Cat is down, in is in, and op is to see, namely to see down in. The word speaks of a penetrating gaze that sees right down into a thing. It refers here to the penetrating gaze of the Holy Spirit as he sees right down into our innermost being through all the superficialities, hypocrisies, and shams of human existence. This refers to a present, searching gaze of God into the inner character of the saint, not to a future judgment at the judgment seat of Christ. And it is not a searching gaze conducted in a critical attitude which looks for faults, but a satisfied, delightful contemplation of the reflection of the holiness and spotlessness of the Lord Jesus Christ in the character of the saint. And the other verse is Ephesians 1:18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And this is an excerpt from another seminar, The Blessed Life, that Ken did, and this is what Ken wrote about Ephesians 1:18. I think this is so apropos, and it just kind of encapsulates, I think, God's heart of telling us that we're preserved blameless. The saints are those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus. Williams translates this verse, how gloriously rich God's portion in his people is. From our limited human perspective, we might think that God has been shortchanged. All he gets out of the deal is us. From God's perspective, however, his portion is gloriously rich. Our lives have been so changed that we have gone from being worthless to being a treasure of incomparable value to God. Weiss writes in verse 18, Paul prays that we might know how precious the saints are in God's eyes as his inheritance. He is glorified in his saints, and this glory is valuable. It is a part of the wealth that God possesses, dear to him than all the splendors of creation. So I wanted to end with that. Thank you so much for being part of the fellowship tonight, and I hope that was of a blessing to you. God bless you.